Audio.
Did you get that?
There. I'm recording my audio also.
If I do this a lot during the night, we've got a ton of fruit flies in the house, so I'm just trying to kill them.
Did they come with the new kitchen?
They might have. They moved in with the new kitchen.
Those jerks.
All right. Well, welcome to the Council Cast. This is episode 180, being recorded on September 14th, 2021. The Council is now in session, and as with every week, we'll make arbitrary decisions about topics on science, technology, and random shit.
Oh, sorry, just a minute. Random shit.
Great.
Nice. On time, cue.
Perfect. On comedy, timing is everything. So
that was perfect. That was perfect because we have no background and absolutely no expertise on how to run a show.
Half of comedy is 90% timing.
Anyway, we'll start off this week with something that doesn't collapse like our horrible jokes, which is ant tunnels.
What?
Ants. Oh,
this was...
Yeah. Ants are the ultimate Jenga player. If you've ever wondered or if you've ever had an ant colony, an ant farm, and you like look down in their little cage, you'll see them creating all these little tunnels that they run around in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever wondered how those tunnels don't collapse, well, yeah, it's because ants basically play Jenga every single time they dig a hole.
What?
Oh.
So what they found out was, the ants would actually kind of poke at the rocks or poke at the walls of the tunnel as they were digging to figure out which ones they could remove and which ones they can't.
Wow.
Well, that's smart.
That is smart. We had ant tunnels with the kids growing up for them. And
oh, yeah, we did have an ant farm.
We did have an ant farm. And we did an ant farm at school. And I was supposed to deliver the ant farm to the school and help get it set up, but I did not pay attention when we did the one at home, and so I did not. You put the ants in the refrigerator.
What?
For a while. You get them all cold and kind of hibernated a little bit, and then they're a little easier to tap into the thing so they can start tunneling and doing their thing, and then they kind of wake up and get warmer, and then they take over. No. These ants were nice and warm and ready to go, and they went everywhere when I took the top off the tube and we were trying to catch them and scoop them up with paper and put them back in the ant farm thing. It was,
That sounds horrible.
Well, it's not like a swarm, but there were a lot of them and we were having a hard time catching them. It's pretty funny.
What if you just accidentally stepped on them? Oh, there goes Joey.
There goes Joey. You promised us 50 ants. There's only 49 in here alive.
Yeah, you know, I think this is, you know, pretty interesting, though, is that, you know, they create these pretty complex tunnel systems. Yeah, Silas has got a couple pictures there of what some of them may look like, some colonies may look like. And, you know, for them to be able to do this and have them not totally collapse on themselves and kill the entire colony is a pretty impressive feat.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah, you get the ant farm, and then you you send away for the ants. And then when you get the ants, you gotta put them on ice and then stick them in the tunnel.
I thought you just went outside and collected the ants off the ground.
No, well, you could, but you can order the ants. And the ants you get then don't have a queen. So they make the tunnels, and then they all die, and then you've just got this intricate maze.
A bunch of dead ants. Oh, sweet.
Dead ants, yep.
That's interesting. How long does it take them to... How many ants do you buy at a time? How much do these things cost? I'm really intrigued by this.
You don't know.
Can I buy them on Amazon?
Let's look really quick.
Let's look really quick. If only there was a device or a way by which we could answer these questions.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to go to...
Amazon, I can buy an insect lore tube of ants, ant habitat refill for $9. I don't know if that means they're alive or not.
They are.
They are?
Mm-hmm. You get a tube of live ants. You stick them in the fridge.
One tube of 25 ants.
Yep.
All right, so you can get 25 ants for $9.
Yep. Huh. Seems like a ripoff.
That does seem like a ripoff. I'm pretty sure I can just go pick up 25 ants outside, and I can probably sell them for you tell me I can sell them for $9.
I wonder though if you did just get like regular old ants from out in the garden or whatever.
If they were all clearly, you know, like 2x2 marching along doing stuff, then they might be all part of the same deal and you know, build more tunnels, but these are big black ants that you get. They're not little tiny chase down spills of pop, you know, and swarm everywhere and disgusting. They're just big black ants.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I'm going to do that.
It's pretty cool.
Thumbs up for not getting ants.
Here, you can get 50 of them for $13. I'm going to buy some and just send them to people.
Great.
What is this?
I'm looking forward to it.
Ants everywhere. That would be hilarious. That's a good idea.
Here, I could buy ant lure. I could just take this and put it outside, and then I could collect, scoop up the ants and sell them. There we go.
Yeah.
Cool. I give the ants a thumbs up. Yeah. Good job at figuring out how to dig well. Plus, they can carry like a shit ton of weight, so good for them. But you know what can't carry a shit ton of weight is online trolls, because apparently it turns out that if you're online and dealing with online trolls, it turns out that there's no way in hell there are nice people in real life. So a recent internet study has proved that online trolls are actually just assholes all the time.
Oh.
No.
So you're saying that...
Is that true?
These mean people on the internet are not actually nice people?
Correct.
That just... try and play mean on the internet? They're actually just mean people that are mean everywhere everything they do?
Pretty much. Yep. If you could imagine that.
That's surprising.
I wouldn't have thought about it, but apparently the internet doesn't turn people into assholes. It just makes assholes louder.
I think you just came up with a title for this week's show. The internet...
The internet makes assholes louder.
Yep. That'll do it. That's interesting. Now, how did they determine this? They just went and met some of these trolls? And
A bunch of researchers apparently used surveys and behavioral studies across the United States and Denmark, of all places, to establish why people broadly perceive the online environment as more hostile than offline. I'm not 100% sure how they did this, but,
Like they did it with a graph.
They did it with a graph. You know, that's positive, I guess. You know, that's the only way to really show true data.
Oh, wow. Yeah, if you're going to use graphs like that, you can prove anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm
It's thinking. A scatter plot.
I hate scatter plots.
But look, you can scatter everything, but then you draw a line through it. One's the mean and one's the median. Mm-hmm. Ooh, let's look at what this one says. Offline.
Oh, online. That looks like two flashlights, one shining more.
More hate than the other? Yeah.
Yes, more hate than the other.
And these are the mean values. Yeah. How mean are they? They're so mean.
I mean, look, to online strangers and in offline. Denmark, they're extra mean.
Apparently.
I mean, I didn't realize that Denmark was such a hateful place. I mean, look at that.
Wow. I would have thought Denmark would have been much nicer.
Yeah. That's terrible. I mean, at least in the U.S., it seems like for the most part, people are mean online about the same amount as they are offline.
No, wait a minute. You said trolls. Maybe the people, are the Denmark numbers relative to actual trolls that live under bridges and trap children?
That's a good point. You know, there are trolls in Denmark.
There are? I didn't know that.
Oh, absolutely. huge amount of trolls in Denmark.
Huge.
There's huge Denmark trolls.
Well, you know what?
I'm going to say down with hate.
I'm going to say thumbs up for quantifying how stupid the internet can be.
Hmm. Yeah, you know.
The medium by which we're sharing our thoughts right now.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I give it a thumbs up because it shows that, yeah, people, if you meet an idiot online, he's probably an idiot in real life.
There you go.
There you go.
You can't teach me anything new. But you know what does power the internet is certainly not parking lots and airports, but SpaceX, who has launched their own Starlink satellite internet service, has apparently been trying to get extra funding from the government by claiming that they have coverage in areas where literally nobody lives.
Why would they do that?
So, yeah. So, apparently, the FCC told SpaceX and other companies, quote-unquote, that it can't use the money that it gave them for rural broadband subsidies to pay for coverage in areas where you have parking lots and well-served urban areas or airports, for example. It turns out that nobody wants internet service in the middle of a parking lot. There's nobody living there. And so apparently SpaceX can't claim coverage when that in those areas or use money to expand coverage in those areas.
I'm not sure how you feel about this.
Okay.
I mean, I like to have internet access everywhere.
I do like internet access in my parking lot, so.
I do.
Is that because you built a house in the middle of the parking lot?
Yes. I paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
I was going to say that. I just don't know how to... I'm not sure what the point of this is.
Well, I think
basically, like, what Starlink is trying to do is, like, how can we be ubiquitous? And so, or, like, companies and airports are like, hey, could we get your high-speed internet? Because that'd be super, super useful. And they're like, yes, and we can use the subsidy money to get this to you at a more affordable rate. And they were like, great, let's do that. And the government was like, no, that's not rural.
Oh, so Starlink found a loophole that the government shut down. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Correct. So they basically said, hey, we have rural coverage by covering a, you know, huge amount of parking lot space, even though nobody is there, and they're claiming, yep, that's enough coverage. So they can keep getting funding. The one thing that I'm thinking about this, you know, I'm going to give it a thumbs down for SpaceX trying to steal money. But one thing that I see is a massively underserved area is lakes. Especially in the winter, you have all these people who are going out ice fishing, and maybe they want to set up, you know, some satellite internet to watch their football or whatever, ice hockey, whatever's going on, whatever they want to watch or stream. And, you know, I think that they should have lakes be covered by that. So there should be like an exception for them to provide coverage on lakes, frozen lakes, maybe.
Frozen lakes sound rural, though.
Yeah.
They do sound rural, don't they?
They do sound rural. Seems pretty isolated and away from the city to have a frozen lake.
The frozen lake is very
and watching
isolated.
Your hockey game. Are we talking about Canada or not? I'm just not sure what we're talking about. I'm going to say thumbs down for government programs and all of their government programming.
Fair enough.
Cool. Yeah. Thumbs up for Starlink. May the odds ever be in their favor.
Thumbs up for Starlink.
Well, something that won't help your internet inside of your house, but may help your sound dampening inside of your house is a new spring-loaded screw that can turn your drywall into sound-absorbing panels.
Oh, we need Logan goodness. Here.
Where's Logan at?
Text him that I'm going to send this to him, and we're just going to I'm going to text this link to him. I'm going to say, "Hey, Logan, just is this real? Give us hop on really quick and tell us why this is bad."
So what, apparently what they're talking about doing, though, is, you know, you have your walls, the drywall that's in your house, and, you know, if people want to cut down on noise dampening, they'll add, well, you have stuff, right, Silas? You kind of get these big foam panels and you put them up on the wall.
I mean, that's these right behind me.
Yeah, exactly. So instead of doing that, these guys are like, hey, you know what? Maybe if your walls vibrated using these little springs, they could soundproof your room instead. You don't have to add anything.
These things are amazing. I think this is this should fix everything. I think that these things are absolutely the most technologically advanced piece of sound dampening equipment ever. Now, where's Logan at to come in and tell me I'm an idiot for saying that?
I just text him. We'll see if he comes up with anything.
You know, I do like this idea because, you know, soundproofing rooms is a pretty difficult thing, it seems like. And this seems like a pretty simple way. If all I have to do is just use this type of screw to make it soundproof, why not?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I like this idea. I do. I just don't know if it would work. Based on what Logan has told me about sound, is that it's not going to, like, the wall moving doesn't actually create any additional air gaps, but maybe it would. Like, maybe, but no, because the surface of the drywall is still going to be hard and reflective. It's not going to be absorbent.
But that's what they're saying, is that these springs actually, so your drywall in your house is solidly screwed to the wood framing. And so these screws put a spring in between that framing member and your drywall. Yeah. So it actually allows the drywall to move under the sound pressure.
But these sound panels right behind me are solidly adhered to the wall. And
that's because they're foam.
Right, but there are other sound... Yeah, but they're foam, and so they have a lot of air pockets in them. It's not so much about... because it's soft necessarily, it's because of the air space behind it that allows it to dampen the sound. I don't know. We need Logan here.
We need Logan.
Well, yeah, because you have to isolate the sheetrock from the noise source. And so I don't know that these isolate anything. You need to have something that's between the sheetrock and the stud, so that it absorbs the energy of from the sound.
That's what the spring is.
I don't think so.
I don't think it is. I'm going to give it a thumbs down.
I'm going to say thumbs down.
They are saying that apparently in their testing, they can reduce sound transmission by up to 9 decibels.
Yeah, 9 decibels?
Really
decibels?
Need Logan here. Finally, I'm just going to text topic.
Him. Can... spring screws in drywall reduce sound by 9 dB.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that I say is I'll give it a thumbs up if it actually works. But just looking at this type of screw, I'm imagining that this is like 4 times the cost of a standard drywall screw. So hey, thumbs Logan, down if it costs more.
I'm on CouncilCast right now, and we're looking at these screws that you can screw drywall into walls, and they have a spring in them, and they say that they can reduce sound transmission by 9 decibels. Have you heard of these things? Mm-hmm. And what do they do? Do they work or not work?
It shifts the point of... mass contact farther out on the wall. It kind of acts like an isolation clip mite. All it does is it allows the drywall to flex away from the stud as it wants to, instead of forcing it to be rigidly connected. It's not a definite thing. It's not a permanent thing. It's not anything you should rely on. But all it does is allow the jib to be more resiliently connected to the jib or to the stud.
All right. Thanks.
So does it? Will it reduce audio by a sound by 9 dB?
Will it really reduce audio by 9 dB?
No.
No. What do you need to actually reduce sound transmission from one room to the next?
Well, increasing sound transmission loss from one room to the next. What really provides large steps up is
a clip. Am I the only one not hearing this?
I don't hear it.
So more layers of jib.
Really, you guys can't hear this?
The microphone probably can't. Did you install drywall with these screws? Because I think it just
I can't hear anything anymore.
it reduced the sound transmission. Well, levels.
I don't think I did anything. Hold on there. Wait, try it again. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. So what about isolation? Is that what you're talking about?
Actually increase sound transmission loss or decrease sound transmission. You need to increase mass or increase resiliency. And the only way to increase resiliency is by adding airspace or disconnect from the part and like their isolation clip that basically make the jib hang on rubber while it's still attached to the stud wall, or simply just by adding layers.
I think the mic is figuring out how to noise cancel itself.
Yeah, it's noise canceling Logan as he's talking. So,
okay. Okay, got it. All right, thanks, bud. Bye.
All right, there you go.
So he said you would probably want to like do two layers of sheetrock and have these clips that have like rubber on them. That would keep the walls from touching the studs, and that the screws kind of do stuff, but they really would never meet the claim that they say they meet. So I'm going to say thumbs down.
All right. I'm going to say thumbs up, and they should hire Logan to fix it. Well,
they're like Inspector Gadget screws. go Gadget screw.
I still give him a thumbs down for being more costly, because I can't imagine that costs nearly as little as a drywall screw does today.
Oh no.
But you know what? Probably even the fanciest noise canceling can't do is deafen the sound of 17 people who got injured in the Los Angeles Police Department's botched attempt to detonate illegal fireworks.
Come again.
All those screams. So apparently the LA PD is masters of detonating illegal fireworks, and they set off an explosion in South LA that injured 17 people.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Yeah, they apparently had...
Is it on video here?
Holy
smokes.
Yeah, we'll watch it together.
There were houses everywhere. They couldn't have found some abandoned warehouse to do this at?
So apparently there was a guy who was hoarding 5,000 pounds of fireworks, and he was arrested, and apparently the police department showed up with a special truck that they used for controlled detonations, and it just was a massive explosion.
That's just so stupid. I mean, why didn't they take it to some warehouse, some abandoned place that they could just blow it up? Some giant parking lot.
Well, why did you do that in the middle of the street, though? That's stupid.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I wonder if there was some guy in the bomb squad that was like, guys, I don't think this is such a great idea.
Yep, shut up. Was.
I bet everybody on the charge. Bomb squad was like, beep. Put more in!
They could have been doing that, too. Wow. That is going to be a problem for the LAPD.
Kabloomers, yeah. Destruction.
To add insult to injury, the police department confirmed that they did not evacuate nearby residents before the pre-planned detonation. So they're just like, oh, hey, by the way, you're walking by right now. Oop, sorry, we just exploded a bunch of fireworks in your face.
Jeez. I'm going to say thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
For fireworks, thumbs down for police blowing them up on your block.
I don't want them to blow up fireworks on my block.
Just let the guy do it. Hey, just have a big massive show, okay?
Yeah. That's just let the guy set them off instead.
Yeah. Hey, you can't have that. Can't have that. You need a big show tonight.
Something that can't detonate fireworks is Heineken's new autonomous beer cooler robot. You know, have you ever?
I love these things.
You know,
it sounds like we have listeners besides Elon Musk. Pretty sure this was something we pitched a while ago.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, who hasn't pitched this idea?
I mean, this is almost as good as that robot that pisses beer, except better. Because it doesn't pee all over the place.
Let me just go look this up.
I think a cooler that follows you everywhere you go with something cool, a refreshing beverage, like this, is a great idea.
You know, I like the idea that it could come and get you, so like you could leave it somewhere and right. You don't have to carry it around, unlike that, you know, Keystone vest we saw a week or two ago, where you actually have to wear good. That
what?
Thing.
Hold on. No, look. I have it right here. I'm going to highlight this.
What am I looking at? Is this like the world's smallest video?
It's a postage stamp. What are we
looking at? Look, look though, here. Hold on. I have to, this is our notes. This is, look, on episode Robot Handies, go back and check it out. 152, Silas says, pitches to Elon Musk a beer fridge that is also a robot that follows you around anywhere you go.
I wonder when this thing was in development, because we could make some serious coin off of this.
Just saying. Wow. Thank you, Heineken, for listening. I would like to get my my royalty check in the form of Bitcoin.
Oh my God, that's actually awesome! Because this article was published in June, and 152 was in January, so
they had plenty of time to develop that.
That's not good, guys. We're going to have to do something about this.
We have it in writing. It's copyrighted. We have it in multiple physical forms.
Wow. Good idea,
but
Silas.
You can't copyright ideas like this. You can only trademark. You can only get a patent for them for it to like hold up, because we didn't have a patent for the idea of a robot that follows you around, you know.
With beer in it.
We should probably hire then somebody to do patent filings for every Elon Musk pitch that we've got.
Oh. In-house. That'd be a great idea. Do we know any lawyer friends?
Well, maybe we just get someone who wants to be a lawyer. Someone like in a lawyer school.
There you go.
Yeah, lawyer school.
An intern. That's what they're called. We need a lawyer intern.
We need an attorney intern. Lawyer intern.
An attorney intern. Yeah, I looked up a lawyer in the phone book and I couldn't find him because it's an attorney.
I'm actually going to give it a thumbs up for somebody making your idea come to life.
Hey, you know what? I'm giving it a thumbs up too. Great idea. Great idea, Heineken.
Heineken, you did it again.
You did it again.
All right. Well, with that,
at least we know somebody's listening. That's all I have to say. That's a really positive thing.
Yeah, I'm glad that somebody listens to our podcast. I'm glad it's Heineken.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse. Glad it's. Place.
I mean, I'm glad it's somebody, but I'm really glad it's Heineken.
There you go. Something to be glad about.
All right. With that, we're going to move on to speaking of our Elon Musk pitches for the week.
I was thinking about this earlier this week.
Whoa.
Oh, hi. You want to be on Council Cast?
That is one excited kid.
You're on Council Cast.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Matt made an appearance, and Eddie pitched something to Elon.
Two thumbs up.
That's great.
Oh, that's perfect.
I had an idea that I want a really, really, really thin, actually atomically thin cord. So it's a string or a cord. You can make it any length you want, but it's as thin as atoms, and it's the strongest cord in the known universe. I want it to be able to tether, like we could shoot it from here all the way to Mars, and then just like put it on a little fishing rod or something, and like reel in Mars. I want it to be that strong.
That makes sense.
I don't know if they would do that with it, but I want it to be that strong.
I'm just going to say that's a great idea.
I'm a little afraid of being able to see it if it's atomically thin.
That's the beauty of it. It can also be used as
a garage.
Well, the moon mysteriously moved 100 miles closer.
You can use it to like cut cheese.
Or it just looks, or it just sever looks like limbs. You're doing it magically.
That would be like worst tripwire ever. You could like
It wouldn't trip you. It would just cut right through.
Cut your legs off.
That's a great idea. Well, some of the applications seem maybe not appropriate, but it's a great idea.
With great power comes great responsibility.
The only way I know this fishing line's in the water is because the bobber comes back when I do this. I can't see it at all.
Well, neither can the fish, and that's kind of the point.
Yeah, there you go.
Catch a whale with that if you want.
I like the idea. I hope it glows in the dark, though, so that I can actually see it.
That'd be really useful. Actually, make it do that. I like that.
All right, yeah, we'll that's good. Glow in the dark.
Dark so that you can see it. All right, cool. I think that Mr. Musk should make a robot, but a modular robot. So it's a modular beer robot. And you could swap it out for whatever you want. It could be a little cooler, kind of like the Heineken one, where you put some beer cans in it and it kind of roams around and brings you some beer cans. But, you know, let's say you're having a party and you're like, you know what, six beers isn't enough for this party. And you're like, I need a keg. You could just swap it out for the keg, and it can hold a keg. So now the robot's the little keg bot.
And he rides a keg bot. Keg bot. That's catchy.
It's like the episode of Futurama when Bender is brewing beer. And he like acts like he's pregnant the whole time.
Which beer company is going to steal this? Who would be more of a keg style beer? Who would you think more when you're thinking keg? Like Budweiser?
Nah.
Miller Time?
It'd be some kind of craft beer. It might be a keg? Natty Keystone. Light.
Natty Light, yeah, there you go.
Keystone. Keystone will be coming out in 6 months with the keg bot, and we'll be like, ah, another idea stolen by it.
But yeah, it's modular, so it could be Kegbot, it could be Beerbot, it could bring you a glass and pour it from a tap for you, it could be Tapbot, and you know, I'll even throw it out there, it doesn't have to be beer, you know, maybe you're into wine, maybe that's your thing, and it could have a wine cooler, it could be Winebot.
Barrelbot.
It could even have a barrel, it could have a... Maybe it's Box Wine Bot. I don't know.
Oh, Box Wine Bot. I'm loving this.
Box Wine Bot.
This Christmas. Box wine bot. The bot that follows you around with a box of wine and a long straw.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. Maybe it's sangria bot. I don't know. Anything you want, it can be modular. It'll transform into
it. And we need one of those buttons on it, you know, with like a medical alert button, so that if you drink too much and fall down, the bot will come over and you can just push the button.
You know what? I like that idea. Medical alert button. Like life alert. But for when you're too drunk.
Yes.
I guarantee it. We will see this. Keystone will do this. And we'll be like, even the medical thing was on there. Come on, people.
All right.
I have an idea. I know this is, I'm just going to say it. It's very comic book, but X-ray glasses.
Okay.
When X-ray glasses, I know they don't need to be creepy. It's not like you need to have like a special pair of glasses you can walk around and magically see people naked under their clothes. I'm talking about like a piece of medical equipment that you just put on so the doctor doesn't have to send you off to radiology. And it can be big. It can be like a headset. It can be like something that looks like glasses from Jurassic Park, you know, that you can see in the dark. Anything like that. You just put them on and go, yep, it's broken. I just think that we need something practical for physicians to use to just speed things up. Because, you know, you have to go to radiology. The radiologist has to read it. And they have to get the results back. But, you know, you're still broken. You need to be fixed right away. So I say they just put him on in the waiting room. Yep, he's broken. Send him to wherever.
You know, I like that idea. I would upgrade it a little bit and say maybe it's an X-ray magnifying glass. Because what if you want to show it to somebody else? What do? Take off these goggles and give them to somebody else? I'm thinking like magnifying glass. Well, you just hover it over somebody, just hold it there. Yeah,
maybe they could have some sort of like digital feed to a monitor or something.
Oh, okay.
See. Okay. You guys see what I'm saying? Anyone paying attention?
The arm is broken. Digital feed to a magnifying glass.
No.
I like it.
No, not a digital feed to a magnifying glass.
A super
digital
powerful
feed to a digital feed to a monitor.
That the is shaped glass. Like a magnifying glass.
All right, you feed magnifying glass. What a shape is a magnifying glass? A
powerful microscope. I like it.
You just click it, you know, like binoculars. Click, 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 click. Oh, yeah, that's not good at all. Click, click, like that.
Totally broken.
Totally. Wait, a little deeper. And
oop, too deep. Yep. Too deep.
Nope. Don't want to see that. Going back out.
You know, I do like this idea of speeding up the doctor's view. So, y'all, you don't have to walk down the hallway to go to radiology in your nightgown.
When your leg is broken. Yeah.
I mean, come on. They can just show up in your room, look at you through the goggles. Way you go. I think of it a thumbs up.
There you go. Yeah. I'm sure Muskie's got some leftover parts he can make that thing happen with.
Oh, he'll have it done next week.
Easy.
Either that or Keystone will have it done.
You never know.
It doesn't really seem like a Keystone thing.
Actually, I bet Mr. Musk would take it and he'd put it in a satellite so you could do it anywhere. It could take X-rays pictures from a satellite.
No. That's kind of creepy.
I like that a lot. Do it. Make it.
Am I diagnostic by standing out in my front lawn?
Can you see that better? Nope.
You know, then you wouldn't have to even leave your house. The doctor could just X-ray you from your house. You can just say, hey, doc.
Yeah, I would shoot right through the house.
It's true. We are doing a lot of remote stuff now, so that's probably not a bad idea.
All right, with that, I'm going to go ahead and call this council meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We do record this podcast live Tuesday nights on YouTube. And if you liked what you saw for some reason and want to check out all of the past episodes, you can go to councilcast.org.
Almost or search all the past episodes.
You just may be missing the last, you know, dozen or so.
Last 30 of them.
30? No.
But if you do have a topic you'd like our decision on, you can email us at idontcare@councilcast.org or connect with us on Twitter @RealCouncilCast. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.